Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Wednesday edition of the show. Glad to have you with us. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Excited that today marks the start of women's college basketball conference tournaments. I know there's some mid-major conferences that get going either today or tomorrow. I believe there's basketball basically on TV from about noon on today. But the Big Ten tournament, the women's tournament, obviously Indiana. We'll be following Iowa as well. Ohio State actually got the number one seed, so Indiana and Iowa could rematch in the semifinal round of the bracket if both teams advance. But it's going to be fun. I probably will pay more attention to the Big Ten Conference Women's Tournament this year than I ever have because Indiana's really good. Iowa and Caitlin Clark are an unbelievable story in women's college basketball, and I think we got some great games, especially once we get through the first couple opening days. But so exciting to know we've got college hoops on television throughout the day. We have a big weekend of high school basketball coming up with the regional championship games on Saturday. Some in the afternoon, some in the evening. Don't forget, we'll be down at Southridge for the 4A championship, Jeffersonville and Evansville-Harrison. And speaking of that game, just a little programming note. We had Coach Wilkerson on with us yesterday to kind of recap the sectional championship and also talk a little bit about Evansville-Harrison. But I got to thinking, you know, Evansville-Harrison, one of their assistant coaches this year, Pat Graham, former Indiana player, obviously former Floyd Central standout. Pat has been with us on and off over the years on the program, and he is going to check in with us Thursday on the show in the opening segment. So it'll be great to kind of preview that Jeff Harrison game from a Harrison perspective, because obviously Pat's an Evansville guy these days, but also to catch up with everything with Pat Graham. He's always a fun interview. We've had some great chats over the years, and it's been too long, so this was a great reminder to get him back, and he has agreed to join us on the show Thursday, so make sure you tune in for that. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, it's game day for the Hoosiers. And Justin and I will talk about this here in just a minute. Really torn on the game tonight, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. But segment one, Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to today. We'll preview IU Maryland. We'll take a look at the Big Ten women's tournament bracket and some of the opening games today and when the IU women get started. Coaching changes this year. Is it going to be a busy year of coaching changes? Is it going to be not a busy year? Of course, locally, Louisville, I think everybody expects Kenny Payne to be gone maybe about a week or so from now when Louisville finishes their last game of the year in the ACC tournament. There's mixed thoughts right now from a lot of people that I would consider insiders on what the future for Mike Woodson is. Does he get a fourth year? I feel like that's kind of generally been the feeling and the thought. Maybe more recently, there are some people pulling back from that. And, of course, you get all these rumors. You never know what to believe as far as Dolson and Woodson meeting and things that Woodson has to do as far as victories to finish out the year if he wants to retain his job. Who knows about any of that? But I think it's going to be a crazy year for coaching changes, which you package coaching changes and the transfer portal and then the NCAA tournament, which is most important of all of them, as a basketball fan and junkie as so many of us are, we are in for just a wild month ahead and really a fun month ahead. So we'll talk that. Also, NCAA tournament, is it going to grow? Is it going to add teams in future seasons? There have been some discussions on that, according to a report that came out yesterday And there's plenty of other stuff we'll get in today here on the program as well. Segment two, Justin Kalin, producer of this show, is going to step in because Dustin Dopierak is out of town covering the Pacers, and he's actually on a flight right now, headed back to Indianapolis, I believe. So Justin and I will dig into the game more in the next segment and go through some other things when he's with us later today. And then in our third segment, as always, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will check in. We'll talk the latest with high school sports here in Southern Indiana. We'll preview the two big regional games from Josh's perspective. Can Christian Academy upend number one in 1A Bar Reeb down at Lagodi? And can Jeffersonville, for the second time this season, beat a good Evansville-Harrison team at Southridge? But a fun weekend of games ahead, and we'll see if we have any locals from Clark and Floyd counties that move on to the semi-states the following weekend. And I think we'll have at least one. I think there's a chance that both teams win. I really do. But I think we'll have at least one victor move on from this weekend. And we'll talk about that with Josh a little bit later in the show. That's the lineup today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out for a great lunch. They have wonderful sandwiches, salads, and soups that are all made fresh daily. And they will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450, 502-414-1450. I guess my question to you is this. I'd love to hear from you. Are you excited about the IU women and watching them this week in the Big Ten tournament and then following them in the NCAA tournament? And to take that a step further, are you more excited than maybe what you would have been because it's highly unlikely the men don't make the NCAA tournament? Just would like to gauge where you're at with the IU women's team as far as fans. I think we've seen a lot of support for them here locally, and obviously at the games in Bloomington, the turnouts have been amazing, outstanding. But love to hear your thoughts on that and anything, 502-414-1450. Just open up your phone, send us a text, we'll read it on the air. It's really simple. And if you're looking for an icy cold thirst quencher to keep your day going in the right direction, right now at Thornton's, all 32-ounce fountain drinks and smaller are only 89 cents. You heard it right, only 89 cents. So come in today and grab a fountain drink from Thornton's and send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Justin Kalin, I want you to join me right now as well. Indiana at Minnesota tonight. The Golden Gophers are 18-11 in the conference, or I should say overall, and they're 9-9, right at 500 in the Big Ten Conference. Indiana built a big lead against Minnesota back in the early matchup between these two teams. It was January 12th, so it's been a couple months ago now. They ended up winning. The Hoosiers did 74-62, the final score. Indiana has been playing better basketball. They won on the road at Maryland and then last week at home against Wisconsin. So even though Minnesota has been a surprise in the Big Ten, I think a lot of people thought they'd be at the bottom of the conference, this is a game that you would think, even on the road, if Indiana plays how they've been playing, that Indiana could win. And I saw today, Justin, that Minnesota is a 5.5-point favorite. And also I saw a crazy stat, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think Minnesota is like 21-3 against the spread this season. So I'm torn on this game. I think Indiana is playing better basketball. I think McKenzie Mbako, Kalel Ware, even the guard play, X-Back. There's a lot of positives right now. We'll see if it can continue for the Hoosiers. But this is a Minnesota team that in some ways might be tougher than Wisconsin and Maryland, even though that's not what we expected coming into the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we got to think back to the first time these two teams played, Matt. That was a point in the season where Indiana just quite frankly was not playing good basketball at all. They had lost, what, five of their six before or in between that Minnesota game or around that Minnesota game. So they hadn't been playing great, but they were able to get a 12-point win in that one. Granted, they were at Assembly Hall, so that helps a little bit. But I think they proved this weekend that Assembly Hall really not that big of a deal, as they went to Maryland and had no business winning that game, but they found a way to get it done. So you like to think that the upward trend is going to continue for this team, and at X being back does make all the difference, and they're going to be able to scrap together some wins. So I'm kind of like you. I'm torn on this game tonight. Really, the Minnesota against the spread doesn't really bother me. I mean, teams can luck into those. So 21-3, whatever it is, against the spread, pretty impressive. But for me personally, I think 5.5 is way too many with the way Indiana's been playing.
All right, we'll see. I think the Hoosiers are definitely playing better, but can they sustain this success and finish out the regular season with a couple different wins? And can you imagine, Justin? I mean, this season is not a good one. There's no way they make the tournament unless something absolutely unbelievable happens next week with the Big Ten tournament. But if Indiana could, they've got the two wins, Wisconsin and Maryland, and then if they could win tonight and Michigan State at home on Sunday to close out the regular season, that is more, that would be just almost hard for me to fathom based on what we have experienced with this show and Indiana fans have experienced really going back to the early part of January.
Yeah, no doubt. And I hate to harp on it, but these last two games really for me have driven home the point of what is this season if Xavier Johnson doesn't have to miss so much time. And we've heard Coach Woodson talk about it as well, how he's the X factor, literally. But he's so in control of this team. And, yeah, he has his goofy moments where he has those silly turnovers or just doesn't think straight for a couple seconds or whatnot. But X really does change this team. And I think the last two games against Wisconsin and Maryland have been evidence of that. So I look for Indiana to keep it rolling tonight. I mean, Minnesota, the barn, is a place that Indiana has had their struggles over the years, but it's not an impossible place to win, and you just went on the road and won at Maryland, so I have no reason to think that this team can't win this game tonight. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be, everybody has to play big. It's got to be your Khalil Ware's, your Malik Renews, your Mackenzie Mbako's, even Trey Galloway, who's been playing really good as of late. He's got to play big tonight as well. And of course, X, as long as he can remain in control, get everybody the ball, be in the right position on the floor, then I think Indiana's got a really good shot in this one tonight. And maybe I'm just being a little too optimistic because of the recent success of the Hoosiers. That could very well be. I could also see them coming back down to earth and going back to a place where we had saw them a few games ago, where they just, to be quite frank with you, were not playing good basketball.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so puzzled to see if Indiana will continue playing as they have or if they revert back to what we've seen for so much of the 2020 four portion of the calendar, and it bleeds back into 23 obviously as well. But two things, Justin, and I know we're going to talk more about this game in the next segment, and there's some other things I want to chat with you about as well related to IU and some not related to IU. But the first matchup, Indiana, or Minnesota I should say, they were 3 from 20 from 3-point range. That sounds very IU like to be honest with you. And then also the other thing about that game, going back looking at some of the game reports, Mackenzie Mbako at that time, after having a really, really rough start to the year, that was his best game until some of the more recent performances. I think he had 19 points in that game. He had 34 minutes, which I think was the most he had played and scored in a ball game at that time. His defense was good enough at that time for him to stay in for a considerable portion of the game. That was a good moment for him. That was a good game for him where you could see the five-star recruit, the Duke recruit that he was for a long time, that early on it was tough to see, especially from the defensive end. Hey, what's going on here with this guy? But I remember that Minnesota game to me was like a real breakout for him where you're like, okay, this dude is really good. He is probably as good as what he's been billed. It's just taken him some time to develop and figure out where he's at in Woodson's system and maybe greater in just college basketball and its differences from the high school game.
Well, yeah, and hand up. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that at the start of the season, I was not a big Mackenzie Mbako guy. I was in the camp of saying, how is this guy a five-star? He came in with a five-star ranking, and he can't play a lick of defense. But he has gotten to the point where – offensively, I think we've seen it all year long with Mackenzie Mbako. He's shown flashes that he could be a super good offensive player, and that's picked up as of late. But where I've really been impressed with him is on the defensive end of the floor. If you go back to the early portion of the season and watch Indiana play, Mackenzie Mbako is lost defensively. He has no idea where he's supposed to be. He doesn't know when to switch on to other defenders. I mean, you can just go down the list of things that he was not doing at the beginning of the season. And now you watch him, and he has an awareness of where he needs to be on the court, who his guy he needs to cover, when to switch, all that stuff. He has just come miles and miles in regards to the defensive part of his game.
I agree. Justin, I want to get more into IU Minnesota and the IU women and some other stuff as well with you. We'll do that in the next segment since we have no Dustin Dopierak today. He is traveling back. But one other topic I want to cover, stay on with me for this, is it going to be a busy offseason with coaching changes? And a lot of that will depend on what schools like Indiana do. I think Woodson's okay for another year, but Who knows? Louisville, got to believe Kenny Payne's probably going to be gone a week and a couple days from now once Louisville loses their last game or their first game potentially in the ACC Conference Tournament. Just before we came on today, Jeff Goodman reporting with the Field of 68 that in-state mid-major IUPUI has parted ways with head coach Matt Crenshaw. I'm assuming that IUPUI has already been defeated maybe earlier today, yesterday in their conference tournament. Can't say that I've kept up with that. But I was looking at a story this morning from CBS Sports about coaching changes. And unless something happens at Indiana with Coach Woodson, it sounds like Ward Manuel at Michigan, the AD there, is going to ride with Juwan Howard at least for another season, even though Michigan, as it stands on March 6, has 8 wins on the year, including conference and non-conference games. It looks like if Michigan stays with Howard, if Coach Woodson gets another year, Ohio State likely going to be the only thing that comes open in the Big Ten. We know Holtman has already been fired. Interim coach Jake Diebler is having a lot of success. Is he going to get a chance at it? Is it going to be Dusty May? Is it going to be Sean Miller? There have been so many names. And keep in mind, somebody could swoop in and steal someone from the Big Ten to go to another school, which could create an opening. But as much as I think it could be a busy year across the country in some of the other conferences, it looks right now like unless we get surprised with Juwan Howard at Michigan, and I would be surprised with Coach Woodson at IU. It just feels like he's going to get another year. Mm-hmm. I know there's some mixed reviews on that right now as far as what people think is going to happen. But unless something crazy happens with Woodson, unless something changes with Howard, it looks like Ohio State's the only job open in the Big Ten, which coming into the year, it looked like Minnesota could be on that situation, Ohio State possibly. But maybe not as busy of an offseason as what you think with coaches in the Big Ten as what it could have been.
Well, that's what's so interesting about the coaching carousel, right, is it may not affect the Big Ten too much, or at least from the outside perspective, it doesn't look like it'll affect the Big Ten too much. But it takes just one coach, Matt, to leave, and that'll set off a chain reaction. So, I mean, think about it. I've heard Dusty May's name a lot with Ohio State. Say Dusty May takes the Ohio State job. Somebody's got to fill his spot at Florida Atlantic. Then somebody will have to fill that guy's spot, and it's just going to be a rotating door. It does seem like it's going to be a little quiet on the coaching movement front this offseason, but that to me just tells me to expect craziness, right? I mean, it just kind of feels like it's going to be a quiet one. That almost tells me, yeah, it's going to get wacky. So I'm really looking forward to the whole coaching carousel. And it really, when you think about it all starts with Louisville. I mean, whoever they hire is going to be the start of the whole chain reaction, because they're likely going to get rid of their coach first with Kenny Payne, although Ohio State already did. But, I mean, you're going to have a situation there where, depending on who they go out and get, they could absolutely just snowball this thing and it could turn into a madhouse real quick.
Yeah, I agree. Going to be interesting to see what happens. You take coaching carousel and the transfer portal that opens in a week and a half from now officially. And then, of course, we'll be right in the middle of March Madness, the men and the women. I mean, it's just overload. It's just so much. We could have instead of a one-hour show, we could have a five-hour show.
Prove it.
It's just crazy time of year for basketball, at least getting ready to be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I agree with you with Woodson. I don't think he's going to go anywhere unless he just gets a wild hair and is like, hey, this isn't for me. That's the only situation I see where he doesn't come back. I mean, you got to give him one more year, right? I mean, especially the last two games getting those wins. If Indiana could continue to win, say they get the win over Minnesota, get a win over Michigan State, maybe win one or two games in the Big Ten tournament. Yeah, you're not making the big NCAA tournament, but you're giving Hoosier fans hope that, hey, okay, we turned this thing around. X was injured all season, we got him back and started playing really well, so maybe he was the missing piece all season. So
yeah, I'm glad
you
brought that up. I want to say this before we get to break. I'm a coach protector. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I've been on the other side. There are times where coaches need to be let go. There are times when coaches need to be let go maybe sooner than later. But if you look back, Coach K is a great example at Duke. I used to be able to recite it, but it took him a while to get the Blue Devils rolling, right?
Yep.
And it happens. And are there things that I see with Indiana as a, you know, I don't want to say a novice basketball guy, but I don't claim to be some X's and O's genius. Absolutely, there are things. Were there things with Tom Crean and Archie Miller? Absolutely. But if you lock in on any team and you really get behind them or you're covering them in depth, you can probably pick out things with any and every coach in America, maybe unless they just won a national championship. And even then, you could probably still find a couple things that you would have done different or you wish had been handled or done differently. So I'm a coach protector. You've got to give Mike Woodson another year. Are there some concerns? Absolutely. Do IU fans have a reason to be concerned about the well-being of the program, knowing that this guy might not be there after another year? Absolutely. But if you want to see absolute ignorance in some ways and then just crazy comments in another, if you check out some of the IU social media sites, mm-hmm. which I really try not to do, or you check out some of the discussion forums that are out there, and some of those at times can be really good and you get really good insight from those. Some people are just crazy. I mean, this is their life. They want Mike Woodson gone as the IU coach as soon as the buzzer sounds from the last Big Ten tournament game that IU participates in, more than they want anything else to go in their life.
You know,
and it's just amazing to me the set of people. And it's not just 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000. There's a lot of people that live and die in the middle of the game. They're ready to get rid of somebody. It's a game Indiana comes back and ends up playing really well. There's no patience. There's no long-term thought here. And it's not going great for Woodson, but my goodness, to get rid of him after 3 years, what are we doing?
Yeah, we cannot be the university that's just rotating coaches in and out. I mean, we've done enough of that the last several years. But the one good thing I think that's going to come out of this season, Matt, is, yeah, it hasn't been all that successful. I mean, you look at the record, 16-13, far from ideal for Indiana. But the one good thing is, and the one thing I think Woodson has going for him, is the fact that this team wasn't better. So you look at guys like Khalil Ware, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, even Trey Galloway. All four of those guys could come back. Now, I highly doubt that happens, but watch. Watch Woodson bring two, three of those guys back and then see what happens to the Indiana fan base. Then all of a sudden there's going to be, I feel like, rejuvenation again, and everybody's going to be joyful, hopeful for the new season, especially if he goes out and attacks the transfer portal as well. So I do think there is opportunity there for Woodson to win some of the Indiana fan base back heading into next season, but it all stems from a good finish this season as well.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's a great chance to get lots of momentum the way that things are structured in college sports these days. If he's able to, let's say Ware goes to the NBA, which, I mean, he why not? Why would he not give it a go at this point?
Yep.
But let's say Mbako's not ready and then he doesn't enter the portal and go elsewhere. Let's say he comes back. And let's say a couple other key players come back, and let's say that they hit the portal with McNeely coming in. Maybe you add another recruit from somewhere that's got some excitement behind him. But you hit the portal hard. You get some of the big names out there. It's a retooled roster where you've got the good pieces from this past year, and then you've got a whole bunch of new pieces that come in with some reputation. I think absolutely you can find Indiana fans right now that are ready for him to be canned and set out to be gone that will be excited about the season next year. Part of that is just overreaction. The other part is just how the college sports world right now is functioning with the transfer portal and so many late things that can happen now with your roster.
Yeah, it does make it fun, though. There's a ton to watch in the offseason, which didn't used to be like that, so I've really enjoyed it.
It's just overwhelming. Like, once the NCAA tournament ends, whether Indiana's there or not, that obviously changes what we talk about in the flow of this show. But when the tournament's going on, with or without Indiana, it's just so much between everybody hitting the portal, who Indiana's looking at in the portal, trying to keep up and preview and talk about the fun games that are going on. It's madness until the tournament ends, which I guess is why it's called March Madness.
That's
but it is fun. It is a fun offseason. Then we get to the middle of the summer and it starts to slow down and dry up a little bit, and that's not as fun. But we'll see. IU football, Coach Cignetti, he's rebuilt that roster. You talk about some momentum in the offseason. I think he's got it. We can talk about that some later. But thank you, Justin. We'll talk more in the next segment.
Sounds good.
We'll head to a break. Back with more on IU Minnesota tonight. and some other IU basketball topics. Still ahead, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune as well, will preview the two local teams playing for regional championships coming up on Saturday. Christian Academy, Bar Reeve at Lagodi, and Jeffersonville, Evansville Harrison down in Southridge. That's Huntingburg. We'll do all that here coming up on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday edition of the program. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. A couple of texts here. I want to bring Justin Kalen, producer, back in with me for this segment. If you didn't hear segment one, Dustin Dopierak traveling back today from, I think, Dallas. Is that who the Pacers played recently, last night? And anyhow, he cannot join us. He's on an airplane right now. So we're talking IU hoops with Justin Kalen, producer of the show. Texter says, lineup for next year, I guess his thoughts on next season. Portal point guard, I agree. Galloway, yep. McNeely, yep. Mbako, agree. Hope he comes back if you're an Indiana fan. Renew, I guess you hope he comes back and doesn't enter the portal. I don't see. Maybe he'll test the NBA waters to get some experience like Mbako should, but I don't think either one of those guys should go to the league. But if they both come back, great stuff. And then Texter adds a couple shooters from the portal. Well, that's, yeah, absolutely. That's got to be the path forward for Indiana. I think that everybody can see it. It's just a matter of, does this all work out? Do Mbako and Renew both stay? Are there any unexpected departures that we're not thinking of? McNeely seems locked in, good to go there. But what can they find? What's available in the portal? Who can Indiana get at the conclusion of this season? Texter says, I think Woodson should stay. Not only was Xavier out a big portion of the season, Kal-El also missed multiple games. That being said, how they finish the season will say a lot as well. I agree. Two wins the last two games really helps Mike Woodson. And a win tonight really helps Mike Woodson. And a win Sunday at home to close out the regular season with some big recruits on campus who are expected to be there. Obviously another big win for Mike Woodson. I think tonight's going to be really tough. I think Indiana, I think they definitely win against Michigan State at home if they play how they have. In general, but I think tonight, Minnesota, tough game on the road. We'll see how this one goes. But none of it's going to make a difference. No one's ever going to say this is a great season. No one's ever going to say Mike Woodson got it turned around and Indiana's a different ball club. They're never going to say anything like that. But just to quell some of the roaring fires that were out there, wins help. No matter the situation, no matter the team, no matter the level, wins help. And some wins here recently, I think, have really helped this Indiana program. Justin Kalen back with me. How do you like that lineup next year, that roster next year? Galloway, McNeely, Mbako, Renew, a new point guard from the portal, and a couple of shooters from the portal.
I love that, mainly because you got McKenzie Mbako coming back, so that takes care of one of those shooters that you would have to get out of the portal, because I think he's really shown as this season's gone on that he is a very capable shooter. He's started to knock down the three at a higher clip, and yeah, you get a portal point guard and somebody maybe a little older. I like Gabe Cupps. I would not mind, from an Indiana perspective, riding with Gabe Cupps from the start of the season next year. He's got that, I don't know, he always seems like he knows what's going on the floor. So I really like Gabe Cupps for that reason. And yeah, he doesn't provide the scoring that you would need from that position. So I do agree with going to get a portal point guard, but it's got to be somebody that can contribute, and you've got to give minutes to Gabe Cupps as well. That's the one guy that we always forget about that I just think could make a big impact next season. Same thing with a guy like Ja'Kai Newton. We haven't saw him at all this season because he was hurt. So anxious to see what he could bring to the team as well next year. But, yeah, you give me that Galloway, Mbako, Renew, and McNeely lineup, I'm in. I'm sold.
Justin Kalen with us here talking IU basketball tonight. By the way, we'll have the game here on the Big X, 1450 at 96.1. Pregame coverage will begin 1 hour before tip-off tonight. So let's see, tip-off is scheduled for 9 o'clock. It's a late one, which I like. It works well with my work schedule. So 8 o'clock, you can hear from Don Fisher and crew on the Big X from the IU Network. Justin, continuing our IU conversation from the first segment, Xavier Johnson is back. I guess the last game was his first real game back where he logged considerable minutes, but he played well, and I wasn't sure what to expect from him. He's been up and down this season regardless of injuries. It's not all been great for Xavier. There have been some painful moments to watch as a player on the floor, but also, you know, some of the intentional foul stuff I thought just got ridiculous as well. Is Xavier back for one final run at Indiana over these last few games and the Big Ten tournament? I got to believe he's playing with a lot of emotion, a lot of heart, and seeing what he can do to help not only on the court, but to lead this team off the court as well for one final hurrah. Is that how you see it?
I mean, yeah, you have to, right? I mean, he's got to be that senior leader that I guess he's tried to be all year, although I mentioned some of the boneheaded things he's done, like where he just doesn't think for a couple seconds at a time, much like those technical fouls or flagrant fouls that he's picked up. But yeah, I feel like all that stuff has been pretty minimal. All things considered, when he's out on the floor, I just feel like he's providing so many other good things for Indiana and mainly just taking care of the basketball. And where people really sleep on Xavier Johnson, and I think he excels, is on the defensive end of the floor. Is he the best defender on this team? Probably not. Does he try the hardest? Maybe so. Yeah, I mean, he gives 100% effort every time on the defensive end of the floor, and that's so valuable for a team, especially early in the season, who struggled defensively. You go out and you see a guy like him doing what he's doing defensively, and it inspires the rest of the team. So yeah, I mean, I gotta think that he's gonna put on his senior leader cap and try to lead these guys to every win possible. I mean, Indiana, I feel like I'm so tired of saying this, Matt, but they've never won the Big Ten tournament. It's high time that comes to an end, right? And I'm not saying this team's going to do it, but it's got to be a team in the next 2-3 years. Like, how has Indiana never won the Big Ten tournament? Come on.
It wasn't it the Bob Knight jinx? He was like, what, the last big holdout that was really against it? Am I right here? And maybe that's jinxed Indiana where they're not going to win it, Justin.
There is some sort of jinx on this Indiana program, not just in regards to the Big Ten tournament, but in just seasons overall. I mean, it's been so hard to get anything put together for this program, and I'm convinced at this point there is some sort of jinx. I thought we maybe got rid of it when Bob passed, but it's still there, and I don't know how we get out of the funk that Indiana's been in for seemingly years. I mean, I'm 34 now. I was 12 years old when they were in the national championship. 12 years old. I mean, that's 22 years of not even getting to a Final Four. It's unacceptable.
I like it. Justin Kalen with some statements here today. Justin, a couple other things I want to cover. NCAA tournament, there was a report from Dana O'Neill yesterday that at least some discussions are going on about potentially enlarging the field. Where do you stand with that? I mean, I love March Madness, another week or weekend of it, or a couple days earlier in the week to get started in week one, however the format could be if they bumped up to, I don't know, 74, 78. Those are some numbers that have been thrown around. I wouldn't be against it from the perspective it's more basketball and it draws the tournament out longer, which I love, but I also have somewhat of a traditional belief in me that, you know, why mess with a product that's been really good? I know there have been some additions and some small tinkers in recent years, but where do you stand on the NCAA tournament?
Well, now you're really just trying to fire me up, Matt, because I am 1,000% against any sort of expansion in the NCAA tournament. When they initially did it and they bumped it up to 68 and they had those two play-in games, I'm fine with that. That's fine. You're giving more smaller schools a chance to get there, but going up to 78 like they're talking about, that doesn't even make sense. Aesthetically, it wouldn't even work out from a bracket perspective. I don't know what sort of plan they got put together if they were to go up to 78, but to me, it just sounds ridiculous. And the NCAA tournament is one of those things, and I've long said that it's one of the only things in sports that is perfect. Don't mess with it. And they already messed with it, like I said, bumping it from 64 to 68. And I thought it was perfect at 64, but I was good with them moving it up to 68. I am completely against expanding it anymore. 68 teams is plenty for an NCAA tournament. If you want to have more tournament action and get more of those smaller schools involved, start another lower-level tournament. Start another rival for the NIT or the CBI. Get something else involved. Don't mess with the NCAA tournament that, in my mind, is absolutely perfect.
Another big statement by Justin Kalen.
I'm fired up today.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, last question. High school basketball. I'll be at Southridge on Saturday for Jeff Evansville Harrison. We'll have that game here on the Big X. Pre-game coverage at 3:40, and the tip-off is 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll be on at 4 o'clock here, local time. Where will you be at Saturday? Are you going to be at a game, watching a game, broadcasting a game? And how great is it to have high school hoops, to have college tournament, conference tournaments, NCAA tournament coming up? All going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Unfortunately for me, though, Matt, I was the radio station I work for over in Indiana actually covers Harrison County, so my last hope died with South Central on Saturday in that sectional championship. That was our last team standing, so I've been spending a ton of time over here in Kentucky. I did mail manual last night. I've got 8th region tonight and tomorrow night, so I've been a pretty busy guy. In terms of Saturday, I do not think I have any thing on the docket, which looking forward is really nice. Really nice.
All right, Justin, thank you for all you do,
of
producing, but also jumping on from time to time with Dustin traveling. It was great to have you, and we'll do this again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll head to a break. We're back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll dive into the local teams, Christian Academy and Jeff, that are still alive. And more coming up in the final segment, including a note on former New Albany standout Sean East. He is having a really good year at Missouri, and we'll talk more about that here in just a few. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment of our Wednesday show. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is that number. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me right now, as always in this segment on Wednesday, to talk local sports. Josh, let's start with Christian Academy. They take on a Barrieve team down at Lagodi. So Barrieve has played their sectional games at Lagodi. Got a little bit of an advantage there as far as knowing that court, that gym, that backdrop. And Barrieve won a 5-overtime game there Saturday night to move on to a regional. Barrieve also number one in 1A basketball. All that being said, I think Christian Academy can do it. I think it's going to be a tight game. Josh Renfro has had an amazing season. There are great players around him that have been really good this year for Christian Academy as well. Obviously, you never know till it plays out, but Josh, I think Christian Academy is up for this challenge.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, they've played a tough schedule. They've played, Providence, Silver Creek, and, you know, those schools, and, they beat Silver Creek on the last second shot. And, they played a tough schedule to kind of get them ready for this moment. They played Evansville Christian, which was ranked number one most of the season in Class A, and they only lost by 2 points, I think, in that game. So they've definitely played a tough schedule to get them ready for this point. And we'll see if it pays off Saturday. But yeah, I tell you what, that 5-overtime game, I would have loved to have been at that game. That's, talk about some free basketball, man. That was a lot of free hoop for those people. I'm sure that was a heck of a game, and you wonder, maybe if that, sure, these are high school kids, and that was a few days ago, but man, I don't know if that'll tire you out or not for this Saturday, but it's definitely one for the record books, yeah. And one that I think will definitely be one to remember for this season. But back to what you said about Christian Academy, I do think the Warriors have a chance, you know, have a good chance as far as that goes. And then, you know, whoever wins this game, they've got a pretty good pass to to maybe go to Indy. So, you know, this could determine who plays in Gainbridge Fieldhouse on March 30th. So, not to look ahead too much, but that's definitely one of the possibilities for the winner of this game. So, we'll see what happens Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. This is a big one and could have implications on the future weeks of this tournament. Obviously, each and every round you're going to take on great opponents, but this Christian Academy Bar Reeve game, I think it really will be one of the good games, a very competitive regional on Saturday. The season that Josh Renfro has had, all the points, all the big moments for him, really good junior year, one of the real standouts here in Southern Indiana.
It's crazy the number of good games he's had. You know, well, he had that unbelievable game where he had 43 points in the first half. You know, obviously, I think it was against Hamilton. But he's had a lot of huge games. You know, he's put up a lot of big numbers, and you know, he's definitely one of the shooters around, and maybe that's been in the area for some time. I don't know, but he's put up a lot of huge numbers. You know, had that huge 43-point game against Rock Creek in the semifinals, but then, you know, the next night, South Central did a good job on him defensively, and I think he only had 13. And you know, some other guys stepped up for Rock Creek. You know, David Cook's a very, very good player too, and so is Cooper Losey. And you know, their five starters are pretty good. You know, they got Joshua Chansey too, hit that game winning shot against Silver Creek early in the season, and then senior point guard Nate Doss. So they've got a formidable starting five. They don't have a lot. You know, they don't have they're not huge as far as height wise goes, but you know, David Cook and Josh Chansey give them some decent size. So you know, I think they've got. You know, most people I think thought that they would be really good next year, but they were definitely seasoned ahead of schedule and have had a great year this year. And you know, this could really set them up for, if they don't make it to the Gainbridge this year, man, they would. It might be a good bet to do so next year with all the kids they should have coming back next year. So, you know, see what happens on Saturday, though.
Josh, also want to talk about the Jeffersonville-Evansville-Harrison game. It'll be played in one of my favorite gyms as well. I know I feel like I say that every week, but we have some great gyms that are fun to be in, fun to call the game in as well. I keep telling myself, thinking about this Jeff Harrison game, Harrison is now 20-4. The Red Devils are 18-7. I keep saying, man, this Jeff team is battle tested. They've gotten so much better, I think, as the season has went on. Even last week at the sectional, you could just see them molding together against a good Seymour team, and then not only beating Floyd, but just blowing them out, and then also pretty much handling a really solid New Albany team. So I let myself go down the path that I think this Jeff team wins Saturday, and maybe can win a game in the semi-state depending on the draw. Anything can happen. But then I look at Harrison, and I don't know them like I know the Red Devils. You could probably make the same argument as they've come down the stretch that they've had some really good moments as well. So you go back to the regular season matchup. It was a three-point Jeff win, kind of a low-scoring game, 49-46 on a Saturday afternoon. It was played at Evansville-Bossy back in the middle of December. So I have mixed thoughts on this, but I think the Devils can do it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they can too. You know, obviously we know, you know, about Jeff's junior class. You know, all those guys have really stepped up and really seem to come into their own this year, and just seem to have gotten better. So that's a good sign. You know, I would definitely like their chances, but as you said, you know, Harrison's been on a roll too, and they're a solid team, not to be overlooked, that's for sure. You know, Jeff had a tough one last year in the sectional. They lost to Jennings County. They had a big lead, and Jennings County came roaring back and beat them in the sectional semifinals. So, you know, I think probably Jeff learned something from that game, and you know, their younger guys did anyway, and you know, they've definitely matured this season and gotten better. So they've got, you know, they've also have Jeremy Rose as their senior point guard too. So, you know, they've got some veteran leadership too. So, you know, they've had a great year. You know, congrats to them on the sectional last week, and Sharon Wilkerson too for bringing another sectional title to Jeff. But, you know, I definitely think they have a shot, you know, and you know, as you said, if they make it to the semi-state, you know, that would be quite an accomplishment. You know, people around here know how much talent they've got, but maybe people in the part of the state don't. So that would be, you know, that would be a good you know, feather in their cap for this season. And then, you know, I really think however far they go this year really sets them up, you know, for a great year next year and to be one of the best teams in the state next year, no matter what happens in the postseason this year.
Josh, I want to bring up Sean East, New Albany graduate, as we close out today. Yesterday, he had his sixth straight 20-point game for Missouri. I know it's been far from a banner season for the Tigers, but Sean East is making the most of his what seems to be ongoing extended college career.
Yeah, he is. He's doing great, and congrats to him. You know, he's definitely setting himself up to you know, have a shot at playing professionally, whether that be in the U.S. or overseas. I think you know, he should at least receive some sort of SEC honors, you know, whether that be, you know, first team, second team, third team, I don't know, we'll see. But you know, he's definitely had a great year, putting up some great numbers, and you know, hopefully that sets him up for to be able to play basketball for some money next year. So, you know, we'll see what happens to Sean, but congrats to him.
Yeah, be interested to see what is next for Sean East. Josh, as always, thanks for the great coverage. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk with you next week here on the show.
Sounds good, Matt. Thank you.
That wraps things up for our Wednesday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.